The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Pat Lowney as he talks to entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to Biz Talk. I'm Pat Lowney and I'm here this morning with Terry Pinch. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Pat. It's another beautiful day, but I notice out the window the trees are already starting to turn. There's red on the leaves.
There are. And it is a beautiful day. This is a great time to live in Wisconsin, and we're happy for the people who are listening this morning. Glad you're here. We'd like to remind you that Biz Talk is brought to you each weekend by the Fox City Score Chapter, and we're located in downtown Appleton. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as the show goes on, but we're going to get together this morning and talk a little bit about commercial lending and the preparation that you may need for commercial lending, and we're going to focus kind of on the startup. So for those folks that have been in business for a while and have a commercial lending relationship, hopefully you'll pick something up as we go here. Like I said, we're going to focus on the startup because there's some unique things that happen when you're starting up a business. So I guess the first place I'd like to start would be is understanding what banking is. And just for your background, I worked for a credit union for 32 years, and I was a CEO for 21 of those years. I was basically the CFO for 10 years in front of that. And we'll talk a little bit later about how that CFO function fits into what banking is all about with commercial in particular. But then in the 8 years, my last 8 years that I was there, we started a commercial lending department. And I worked with a consultant because I didn't have any background in it. I didn't have any experience, but I knew we needed to get it into the mix of what we were doing at the credit union. And I also knew I needed help. And I was fortunate enough to find somebody that was very good with that background and able to mentor us through that process, and built a nice little portfolio in the next 8 years before we moved on to something else. So that's my background. Terry, you want to talk a little bit about yours?
Sure. Most of my career was spent with a large consumer products company for about 26 years. But prior to that, I worked for a small business and, in fact, was a small business consultant while in university as well. And since retiring, I'm semi-retired, I guess I would say. I do work with small businesses through SCORE, but I also do some consulting with more medium-sized businesses, I would say, but I'm working right now with a company where you get to see how much cash flow matters and how you have to manage your business so that you can work with the bank and make sure you've got money coming in at the right time to manage the flow of cash as it happens. So a lot of work right now in the healthcare area and seeing what happens with those commercial banking relationships.
And both of us are working, as you mentioned, as SCORE mentors. And so a lot of the things that I'm going to be talking about this morning are tied to some of those mentor experiences, things that I'm seeing as I'm meeting with mentors. And because of my background and my focus, I tend to see a little bit more, I think, of the startup, at least the startups that are looking for financing. So That's kind of why we're going to take off with this today.
Okay. And before we get too far into this, so I think it's really important to understand what a bank does, because people just see it as a place where they go get money. So, Pat, could you kind of walk through what a bank is and what commercial lending is at a bank?
Sure. So just a disclaimer on the front end, when I say bank, I'm going to use it in a generic term. I'm talking about banks, credit unions, and other federally insured financial institutions. This basically applies to all of them, but you have to look at the fact that a bank is really an intermediary between people who have money and people who need money. And so they have played, they've been set up traditionally as an organization. People come and deposit their money in because they know they have to put it somewhere. They want to put it somewhere where it's secure. and safe and in the United States guaranteed up to some point that they don't have to fear losing it. And then the bank takes the position of saying they'll take that money and then sort it out and distribute it out to people who have a need for it. And that's at its core basis, that's what it's all about.
And I want to reemphasize that, too, so the people really understand it. Because I know, for instance, yesterday I was in my credit union, and there are a number of people in there getting services. And for most members, all you think of it as is a place where you go and deposit money. You may get an occasional car loan or something, but you're focused more on that's where my money is, that's where my checking account is, that's where my savings account is. But the bank and credit union doesn't exist if they don't do the other side of the transaction, which is lend that money out.
Absolutely. And sometimes I think it, particularly in the people that work in the institutions, depending on what their background is, they lose some focus too on the fact that both sides are needed. You have to have the people that want to borrow the money in order to be able to pay the bills and, pay the salaries and the building costs and things like that. But you also then have to have those people that are going to put and deposit money in there, whether it's via payroll or they have longer-term savings, those kinds of things. And that's kind of shifted a little bit in the last few years because in maybe the last 20 years in particular, as mutual funds have gotten more popular and people are changing their perspective and saying, you know what, I may need to go out and get a mutual fund for some of my more longer-term investing because I need the return that I'm going to get out there. So one of the things that you get in a bank is that you're going to get the safety. It's federally insured up to a point, $250,000. And there's different ways you can play with that. But you get the safety of having your money in a place and know that you're going to get every dime of that back if something bad is to happen. You don't get that with a mutual fund. And mutual funds have a very, very good record and things, and the returns a little bit higher because they can invest a little bit differently than what a bank is allowed to invest in outside of loans. So one of the key things of managing a bank or a credit union is that you have to weight each of those sides so that you have to make sure that you're looking to attract savers and you're looking to attract lenders. And something else that happens in that process is that, and this is where the CFO comes into the situation, although most of the senior management and perhaps in some small organizations, some board members sit on an asset liability committee. And that committee makes decisions about what kind of mix of both savings and deposits and loans the bank is going to have. So, for example, they'll decide for how many, what kinds of CDs they're going to have, what kind of term of CDs, how many of those CDs, that kind of thing. The CFO is running reports and watching all this so that if they put out something that might be a little bit too attractive, maybe they'll change a rate down, or maybe it'll change it up if they want a little bit more of that. The same thing happens in lending. They price based on how much or how little they might need of something at a particular time. So it's always very market-driven. It isn't as much as sometimes people might think that somebody just made a decision and said, here's what our car loan rate's going to be for this particular term. Usually they're trying to drive something to happen that affects the balance sheet. And that becomes really common also in small businesses, although most small business owners don't think about that as much. They're much more focused on doing whatever it is that they have to do to make their business run and succeed, but they also have to pay attention when they look at things like inventory and finished goods and things like that. How much of that can you afford to have sitting around or have on the floor or whatever that is versus maybe having to wait and stop production, manufacturing, if that's what you're doing, waiting for inventory to come or raw materials to come in to be able to produce. And
so as we have this discussion with clients at SCORE regularly, when you're looking for a bank loan, then that should really feed into your thinking to understand that, look, you do want to talk to 5 or 10 different lenders because 4 lenders may have decided they don't need your type of loan right now because it doesn't fit their asset mix. And you want to find the bank that really, one, they have one to build a relationship with, but two, is really interested in building in the area you're working in.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that's really key. And, you know, you talk about a couple things there that are really important. One of them is relationship. You know right away when you sit down with somebody whether they're interested in you and what you're talking about, what your small business is. You're going to pick that up pretty quickly, and you're going to pick that up as you move along, too. How fast do they get back to you? Do they seem interested when you come in? Are they excited about you coming in? Versus sometimes they just need to fill a bucket. They need to get a loan, and they need, and you've got one that you're looking for, and everything fits and things like that. So I think one of the things that you have to look at when you're out looking for commercial loans is that you do, and maybe, and I guess probably all kinds of loans, but commercial loans, is that you are talking to several different people, however many that is, for a couple of reasons. One of them is you're going to learn a lot about them. Just in a, say, simple half an hour, 45-minute discussion of whether they, number one, even do the loan you're looking for. Because one of the common problems that a lot of people talk about in startup situations is they can't find a lender who wants to work with them. And startup lending is difficult because it has a high failure rate, and it's hard sometimes to find people that have got all the bases tagged, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go on this morning properly, so that they become attractive to the financial institution.
Before we go on to the next section, one thing I just wanted to hear from you on a little bit is regulations and how the government regulations have changed over the years and what it means for a bank, because that plays into their commercial lending process as well.
It's huge. It is just huge. Banking has always been heavily regulated. It's almost like an old joke. You know, you hear it all the time. It's the complaint you hear from bankers. We're over-regulated in things. But after 2010, it really got bad. And we went through a very bad economic situation. So, you know, there's some cause and effect there. I think the biggest complaint that most bankers have about what happened after 2010 is that the cause of most of the stuff that drove us into the recession of 2008-09, and to some degree, I think many people would argue we're still working through, was not caused by them. It wasn't caused primarily by the community bankers or the credit unions or things and people like that, but they bore the brunt of the regulatory burden that came afterward. And so that also plays heavily into decisions about whether we're going to make this loan, whether we need to get out of a loan, for example, some pretty basic things that go into lending. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that with a banker that isn't just, you know, I don't like you or that kind of thing. It isn't that at all. There's a reason why they're a little more challenged by startup lending.
Okay. Well, from here, let's get into talking about commercial loans and where you get them. So after this break, we'll go into those discussions.
Yeah. And just a reminder, you're listening to BizTalk on WHBY.
Need help taming your business's financial beast? Albertson Hailing CPAs can simplify your financial situation and guide you from payroll to tax planning and more. Let's crack the whip on your business's finances, helping you feel more comfortable. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Do you believe your business can generate more in profits, be more efficient, and grow successfully? At Priora, our vision is applying financial literacy. Yours. You are searching for a method to truly understand and manage the cash flow of your company. You know you should have a better working knowledge of your cash flow. The Priora Business System is an excellent template for the motivated business owner to successfully achieve profitability and growth. Visit PrioraCFM.com for more information or call Tony at 920-450-2840.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit legalbusinessedge.com.
Welcome back. We're glad you joined us this morning. We're talking about preparing for a commercial loan. But before we continue that conversation, I'd like to tell you about the Fox City Score Chapter. Our Score Chapter is located in the Fox City's Chamber office in downtown Appleton. We have offices in Appleton, Oshkosh, and Fond du Lac, and we serve an 8-county area around those three cities. We have about 50 volunteer mentors, each of them an expert in their field. We offer entrepreneurs no cost and confidential mentoring. We have expertise in areas such as IT, social media, marketing, cash flow, accounting, strategic planning, workflow, HR, retail, best practices, banking, and many other specialties. In order to register for our no-cost and confidential mentoring session and or to learn more about the Fox City Score Chapter, visit our website at foxcities.score.org. You can learn more about how the Score Chapter can assist you with starting or growing your business. When visiting our website at foxcities.score.org, you can complete an online application for a no-cost, confidential mentoring session. Simply complete the online form and submit it to Score. Within a few days, a Score mentor will be contacting you to set up a meeting. Remember, Score is no cost and offers experts who can assist you in many different areas that your business may need. To get started, simply visit our website at foxcities.score.org. And we'd also like to remind you that Fox City Score is also looking for new mentors. We can use people with experience in agriculture, such as hydroponics, wellness, and that is if you've got a background in assisted living right now, that's something we have a need for, government contracts and constructions. If you have experience in any of these areas and you'd like to share with others looking for help, we'd love to talk to you. Go to foxcities.score.org. Click on the volunteer button and fill out the short application, and we'll get back to you and explain more. So if you'd like to join in the conversation or have a question, our phone number is 920-281-1150 or 886-887-1150. You can give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you.
Okay. In the first section, we talked a little bit about banks and just how they work and both the lending and the borrowings or the saving and the lending side. Now we want to talk a little bit about how Score can help you as kind of as you go forward and look at getting commercial loans. So, Pat, as you've worked with clients, what do you think Score brings to this whole topic with new startups?
Well, I think a couple different things. One of them is we have several different people who have some significant banking experience, and so we can talk to people saying, look, I sat on the other side of the table for a long, long time, and I understand what the bank you're working with or the credit union, whatever you're doing, is working with, and I know what they want to see, so I can help you, and so can other mentors. And I think that's the real benefit of Score. It's one of the huge benefits. Our area is more financially focused, the area that I'm working in. Other people who are working in those different areas that I talked about a minute ago with what Score can do also have backgrounds in a lot of those different things, and they can help a new person. So the new person, when you start a business up, you aren't just looking at the financial part of it. It's probably the part that gets in your head, your eyes first is, where am I going to get the money to make this thing happen? But there's a lot of things going on, like HR and registrations and, perhaps IT and personnel management and things like that that you probably haven't dealt with before. And we've got people with all kinds of backgrounds that can do that.
As a banker, what would interest you about a client telling you that he's working with Score, he or she is working with Score?
I think the biggest thing is that they're actually working with somebody to do that legwork on the front end. So as a banker, my worst nightmare was somebody who literally walks in and said, I want to buy this restaurant, and I want to buy it next week, and I need $300,000. And you go, I have never worked for a restaurant. I like to cook. People tell me I'm good at it, and I'm tired of what I'm doing. I want to get off and do this. So Score, what we do when people come to us is we sit down and say, well, look, you got to flesh this out a little bit better. and think about this. And here's the questions a banker is going to want to know right up out of the gate of whether they're going to spend any more time with you or not.
And as an organization, too, in both Oshkosh and the Appleton area, we're starting to work with banks because they actually want people that come into the bank to have a good plan up front. And so we've got some relationships where they will refer people to go talk to SCORE if you need some help putting these plans together.
Absolutely. And we encourage that, and we're working with different institutions on that to help them also. So in a situation I just described, it's really discouraging from the banker's point of view to say, I don't know, maybe this guy's got a good idea, but there's so much basic work that needs to be done. I don't have time for that. And it goes back to what a bank does is commercial lending is so different from consumer lending, which most people, if they're starting up, that's what their background is. They understand the protections they have in consumer lending. They understand, you know, the rate structure and things like that. What they don't understand is that, you know, there's a lot of paperwork that goes into a commercial loan, a lot of background work that goes into it. And if the banker is going to invest time and money in making an analysis that this thing is something they want to work with, they're going to have confidence up front that you've done your legwork and you've got a package put together that's going to be attractive. Okay. So we're going to take another break. You're listening to BizTalk and WHPY, and we'll be right back.
Are you a business owner looking to purchase real estate or equipment? Did you know there's a program out there that any bank or credit union can offer to help you make it happen with as little as 10% down and long-term fixed rates under 5%? It's called the SBA 504 program, and it has been working for small businesses for over 35 years. So next time you are talking to your banker about real estate or equipment financing, make sure you ask them for the SBA 504 option, because knowing all of your options is good business. Learn more about the SBA 504 program at wbd.org.
Fox Communities Credit Union. We have a line for you. You need to understand. We have a line for you. Yes, you can. Fox Communities.
You think that sounded out of date? Have you seen your bathroom lately? Get the money you need to make the updates you want with a home equity loan or line of credit from Fox Communities Credit Union. You can use the money to consolidate debt or make repairs, improvements, and updates to your home. Finding a house in today's market isn't easy, so use a home equity line of credit from Fox to transform your current home into your dream home. It's your money. Use it however you want. Make life happen and keep things up to date.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
Get more information on a home equity loan or line of credit. Visit foxcu.org or one of 22 Fox locations.
Fox Communities.
I'm on my way out. I'm booked that day. I'll be washing my hair that night?
No matter what excuse you use, your business's finances won't fix themselves. Albertson Hailing CPAs can take the frustration out of your bookkeeping, taxes, and more. We'll help you understand and manage your situation. Visit albertshailing.com. Albertson Hailing. Personal connections. Positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Albertson Hailing CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Welcome back to BizTalk. I'm Pat Lowney, and I'm here with Terry Pinch this morning, and we're talking about getting prepared for a commercial loan. Before we get back into the conversation on commercial loans, Terry's got some educational opportunities that the SCORE chapter has coming up. Terry?
Okay. We've got four different things we're going to talk about, a lot going on. The first one is next week, and it's one we'd strongly recommend for people looking at starting up a business and even those that are currently running a business. And it is Accounting Basics for Small Business Accounting Software Programs. And it can sound like a little bit of a boring subject at times, but this is really something that will help you if you're going to be using QuickBooks, for example, to run your business, even if you're doing it in Quicken or some other type of software too, but it'll really help you understand why you do some of the things you do in Quicken, and to take a couple hours to learn what's going on in accounting will really be helpful to your business as you go forward, because again, the finances are going to drive an awful lot of what you do in the end. You need to understand that and understand it well. So it will be on September 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Fox Cities Chamber of Commerce office in Appleton. So it'll you'll understand the basics of accounting, how to set up a system, why the routine transactions happen, and how basic accounting processes are handled, such as sales, expenses, etc. And the reason it's being held next week, too, is because it will precede our next QuickBooks seminar. That's always one of the most popular seminars we do. We get a lot of attendees. But those are going to be – the next session is going to be the first four Wednesday evenings in September. And it will – or sorry, October. And it will be at the New Horizons building. And good setup there with computers for everybody where you can come in and get hands-on training from an expert on using QuickBooks. So we've got more information on both of those at our website, foxcitiescore.org. And if you're interested in just the accounting or just the QuickBooks, you don't have to attend both. You can sign up for either. But that introductory course in accounting will help you an awful lot as you go into the QuickBooks seminar. Okay. Again, you will be able to sign up for both at foxcitiescore.org. And that first session of the QuickBooks is going to be Wednesday, October 3rd, and then for each of the next three Wednesdays after that. So important for people who want to use QuickBooks. The third thing we've got going on is we've had a very successful relationship with Google where we've been running seminars based on Google content and programs they put together. They've been very helpful. It's actually broadcast usually from San Francisco with Google hosts running the program and doing a very good job. And then we have usually expert there who can help and answer questions as well. But we're sponsoring another Google event at the Bordini Center at Fox Valley Technical College on October 17th. And this is especially for retailers, and it's focused around strengthening your online presence in preparation for the upcoming holiday season. So for those of you who have a retail website and are using online tools, and even for those who are just thinking about it, this is a very important session. It'll be very helpful for you as you go forward. But you can get more information and sign up at our website, foxcitiescore.org. And finally, the last session we'll mention here is coming up on October 22nd at the Fox City Chamber of Commerce building at 6. And it's on the impact of the 2019 healthcare reform for small business and information. Individuals, if you would like more information on healthcare will affect you, the session is for you. Again, go to our website at foxcitiescore.org for more information and to sign up. But there will also be a second session, this one in Fond du Lac at the Fond du Lac Library on November 5th. Again, if you're trying to understand how healthcare reform for small businesses and individuals affects you, these two sessions will be very helpful. So November 5th in Fond du Lac at the Fond du Lac Library and October 22nd at the Fox Cities Chamber of Commerce. So that's what we've got coming up in October, September and October.
So just as it's time to go back to school for a lot of kids and things like that, it's also time to go back to school for us, and we offer these educational opportunities as a method to give people a chance to learn a little bit more depth about some of the things that we're talking about on the show and some of the things they're going to run into as they work with their small business. So let's get back to commercial lending a little bit.
Okay, Pat, we've gone through a number of things here, and you've covered quite a bit of background. Now we want to get into the real meat of getting a commercial loan. What are the things from a personal side you need to consider as you go in and look at, hey, I need a bank loan to make this business work? What do you need to think about?
Well, I think one of the first things I would recommend is that you slow down a little bit, and that is, you know, ideally I'd like to see somebody start to contact Score maybe 6 months to a year ahead of the time they actually want something to happen. And the reason for that is there's probably a lot to learn about yourself and about, you know, what you're looking to do. The example I gave before, somebody who comes in and says, I want to buy a business in a month or something like that happens, and those aren't good. You know, if you've got a lot of experience in a particular area, you're probably not going to come to us anyway. You're going to go ahead and you know what to do, and you're going to go ahead and do it. But if you haven't gotten any experience, you really need some time. And one of the first things that I do when I talk to people is ask them about their own personal credit history. and find out where they're at that way. You know, have you got money saved? Have you paid your bills on time? A credit score, a personal credit score, is a measurement of how well you used your own personal debt, how much of it you have in conjunction to your income, and then how well you pay it on time or not. And there's a few other things that go on, but those are the core of what those are. And there's a theory, and I think it's probably true, that a good indicator of future behavior is past behavior. And if you've been able to manage and have the self-discipline it takes to be able to manage your own money and things like that, you're probably going to do a good job on your own going forward.
So, Pat, if you're somebody with a poor credit history from decisions made in the past, what do you think you need to do to be able to get a bank loan in the future? You're not going to be able to walk in and get one right away. What are the things you need to work on?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on whether you can do it or not. And it's nothing, there's nothing wrong so with asking for help on any of this. So, you know, it happens. Stuff happens, you know, where you start out one place in life and things get maybe a little bit botched up and things like that. You know, one of the things we don't do a real good job is teaching personal finance almost at any level. So we walk out of school and somehow we get a credit card and things like that. And we take off, and I think most people really try to do a good job, but something happens along the way and things get out of control and things. So there are different places, there are different people we can help people with to help get their personal finance, start to repair it. It's amazing what you can do with your personal finance in 6, 9, 12 months. It isn't like a death sentence that you're never going to be able to make this happen, but you really do need to do some work to get it straightened out. So I used to work for somebody who made a comment when he was turning a person down for a consumer loan of saying, you know, you put that money into a savings account, whatever you think that car or whatever it was you're looking to buy that I'm not going to make for you right now, into a savings account for 6 months. And if you do that every month for 6 months, number one, you have a down payment. Number two, I'll make the loan when you come back because you showed me you can do it. So it starts that thing, starting to repair and starting to get a knowledge of what it's going to take in order to, you know, be able to do this, because that's what you're going to have to do if you, once you go out and, you know, succeed and get, you know, a loan from a bank for a commercial loan too. You're going to have to make those bank payments on time, and you're going to have to make them every single month, whether you can or not. You know, it turns into a little bit harsher world than you're used to. Consumers are a little bit more protected than a commercial borrower is, and so you're going to have to get ready for the fact you got to make those loan payments no matter what.
Yeah. So the message to people out there is, if you've got a poor credit history, you may not be able to get a commercial loan immediately, but you can repair what's happened, and you need to think through that piece of your personal life and your business life first before you're going to be able to get the loan. But work with somebody. Think through how you repair what's happened in the past and how you can be ready to convince a bank you need a loan, you can pay back a loan in the future.
Absolutely. There's always hope, and there's always ways of doing it. There are other non-financial institution ways. Some organizations will work with people that are a little bit dinged up and things too. So it isn't like, you know, you're out here and you can't ever do it. You know, you might have to find something. But a concept that you need to understand is that risk brings cost. And so if you bring risk to the table, first of all, in banking, banks don't assume risk. They make risk decisions. And if the risk is too high, they just don't make the loan. But if they decide to assume the risk that you're bringing to the table, at the minimum, they're going to price that higher to help absorb whatever potential losses they think might happen outside of the ordinary. So if you do get the loan made, you're going to pay a higher cost than you might need to. So it's always better to get your own self straightened out first. But assuming you have all of that and, you know, you have, you know, good credit and you've got some money saved up that you can put down as a down payment, one of the things that you need to look at in the project is it going to cash flow? And there aren't many startups that cash flow right out of the gate. You're probably going to take some time to develop that cash flow. It might be, you know, a year, 18 months, maybe even 3 years, but you're going to have to do some performa work on your financials and say, okay, what is it that's going to happen in the next 12 months, 18 months, whatever that is, probably 3 months. What's going to happen? What's going to happen 6 months? And then you're going to have to mark against that to say, did I hit the goals I thought were going to happen? If I didn't, what adjustments am I going to make so that I know I'm on track? But all of that's going to require collateral of some sort, too, before you, if you're able to talk, you know, you have a good background, you've got a good personal credit history, you've got savings that you can put into it. You're going to have to put your own money somehow into this. Again, if you go out and buy a car right now, you don't have to put much or any money down to buy a car. In a commercial loan, you're going to put at least 20% down. The more of your own money you can put in, the better it's going to be, the more attractive it's going to be, because the bank is going to look at that as cushion. That if something goes wrong, that money is going to get eaten up first before it starts dipping into theirs.
And now for some lower income people, there are sources you can go to get help to get the down payment and the collateral, such as CAP services, but there are others in the area as well. And so, again, don't just assume you can't get the money, you can't get a loan. Come out and ask, SCORE. There are other people you can work with as well, but come to SCORE and talk about those so you get a feeling for what's there.
Right. A big part of what I do and what we do as mentors is not so much what I can do for you. It is what resources I'm aware of, and that's what we go through as SCORE mentors. We go through a lot of education to become aware of what some of these other resources are and say, you know what, I don't think you're going to get that from, you know, the bank that you're working with, or probably any other one right now, but I do know of this organization over here, and they've got this focus, and I think it might be worth your time talking to them. So that's another benefit of coming to SCORE and not just getting, you know, bummed out because, you know, I tried once and it didn't work, and now I'm out and I can't ever do it again.
Yeah. And as hard as it is sometimes for people to understand how important understanding the financial aspect of your business is, it's because, look, you come in and you know a lot about a restaurant, and you know a lot about a retail business or a manufacturing business. You've been an expert in the machine shop all your life. And that's great and that's important, but you need to have somebody who can help you with the financial aspects of it if you're going to get a loan. Now, you don't need to be an expert on it yourself. You need a partner that you can work with, and that might be an accountant. It might be an employee that you hire to do that work. But you need to at least understand your finances if you're going to get a bank loan, because you're going to be sitting with that banker and talking to that person about your business and what's happening. And if he or she is asking you questions around your business and you can't explain what's going on from a financial perspective, that makes it a very difficult conversation.
It does. And you can hire people, you know, so if we're talking about putting a business plan together, you can hire people that will do that for you, and they'll put really nice ones together. And, you know, if that's what you really want to do, is just get a business plan done, that's an effective way of getting it done. Whether it accomplishes what you want might be another thing. So the banker is always in the interviews, the conversation is going to be trying to get a judge on an assessment on, how well do you understand your own business? Are you relying on other people completely or not? Or do you understand the business? And also, how much attention you pay. So there are times when you have to hire an accountant or perhaps an attorney or something like that to be able to help you do this work. But how much attention do you pay to the recommendations those people make? If you're getting advice from an accountant or something, and the accountant is telling you to do something and you ignore it, you might as well not have paid to do it at all, because you're gonna pay money for something you don't use. Plus, you're gonna send out a signal that you don't pay attention to the people that you hire, and that is gonna really turn down somebody that you would like to get some money from.
One thing I'd like to just go back on and have you cover a little bit very quickly is collateral. Why did banks want the collateral again for a commercial loan that they don't want for a personal loan?
Well, the biggest reason I think there's a couple reasons. One of them is the volume of the loan is generally quite a bit higher in a commercial institution or commercial situation. So You know, if you're looking at a vehicle, you're going to go out and you're going to borrow $40,000. It's really easy to put a value on that vehicle that is worth $40,000 or somewhere near that. So that I, as a banker, then if I have to repossess that and sell it, I know that I'm going to get about $40,000 back out of that deal. In a commercial situation, it's really challenging to put a value on a piece of property or some equipment or something that you may own and has value if you're producing what you say you're going to produce. But I, as a banker, can't step in and run that factory, and I don't want to run that factory to keep that collateral value high. So the collateral value on and repossessions and things drops dramatically. You might be looking at 20 cents on the dollar or something like that, 30 cents on the dollar, you know, nowhere near 70 or 80 cents on a dollar. And that's why banks want to have a lot of collateral. So one piece of advice I'd like to everyone needs to understand, too, is that in this transaction, good, bad, or otherwise, as you're going through it, you are going to end up pledging everything you own. And I've heard that come up a couple of different times. People say, you know what, I think I'm going to incorporate or I'm going to form an LLC so I have protection against the liability. And then if everything goes to pieces, I'm protected. My personal house is protected and things like that. And that is not the case. And I don't know if anybody will make a loan like that. They're going to collateralize everything you own to start with. And you just have to get used to that, just the way that it is. But it's a lot of those kinds of things that, you know, drive it in the direction it's going.
Okay.
So it looks like it's time for another break. We're going to take one more break. You're listening to BizTalk and WHBY, and we'll be right back.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Manage your banking relationship. Don't be managed by it. Lenders will require a copy of your detailed business plan to evaluate the risks associated with making a loan to your business. Many companies have already benefited by using the Priora Business System to prepare their business plan and provide ongoing monitoring of their business cash flow. Priora Business provides you and your lender with the critical information needed to demonstrate your business will be able to repay the loan. Visit PrioraCFM.com or call Tony at 920-450-2840 for more information.
Subtract line 6 from 13. Put in box 5 on form 1040-EZ. Easy? Really?
Taxes can be daunting, especially when it comes to your business. From asset protection to payroll and more, we can help reduce the stress of your business's financial situation. Visit AlbertsHaling.com. Alberts & Haling. Personal connections. Positive results.
Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Haling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
Hi, this is Matt Wilcock. I've been helping businesses in this area for over 20 years as a business banker and now as a vice president with WBD, your business finance resource. WBD is a nonprofit company that partners with local lending institutions to offer the SBA 504 loan program. If you are looking to buy commercial, real estate, or equipment, want to lower your down payment and get a 20-year fixed rate under 5%, be sure to ask your banker to show you the 504 option. And don't worry, at WBD we speak SBA, so we will make it easy for you and your banker. For more information on the 504 program, visit WBD.org.
I'd like to thank our sponsors who help us bring BizTalk to you each weekend. We couldn't do it without them. They are Fox Communities Credit Union, a longtime sponsor of BizTalk. If you're looking for business-oriented banking services, Fox Communities is who you want to talk to. Also, Alberts & Haling CPAs. They have offices in Appleton and Green Bay. Alberts & Haling offer accounting services geared to support the small to medium-sized business and the individual, including tax preparation and advice. Thank you to Legal Business Edge, which offers legal services to business owners. Sarah DeBruin and her team specialize in business law, offering services for forming a business, contract review, intellectual property law, such as patents, copyrights, and trademarks. We'd also like to thank WBD. WBD's mission is to create jobs, grow business, and build communities. They are the 504 SBA loan experts. Thank you to Prior Cash Flow Management. Prior believes that every entrepreneur wants to succeed. Prior offers creative, effective solutions to improve cash flow in your company. And Tony Bush is the owner of Prior, and he is going to be our guest next week, so we're excited about that. We'd also like to thank Candale Marketing, who supports our website, biztalkwithscore.com. If you'd like to hear one of the podcasts from these shows or see who's coming up, or who's been on the past few weeks, you can go out to biztalkwithscore.com. And finally, a special thanks to Business News. They promote business. They have a business newspaper promoting business in East Central Wisconsin. We're very happy to have them along as partners. So as we finish up this morning, I'd like to take just a minute and talk about a bit about rates, because that's always a question that people have is, you know, and it seems to be where our focus is a lot is on rates. And this whole area, I could go on for probably an hour just on this one area, and I don't have that, and you're probably thankful for that. But the real key here is that, again, you need to know your business and you need to know what's going on in the market and you need to know why it's going on in the market. And right now, we've talked about this in different weeks. We're going through a period of somewhat rising rates, and we're also in a little bit of a weird time right now where the yield curve is starting to flatten out. And generally, a yield curve is kind of, I don't even know how to describe it, but the concept that shorter is lower and longer is higher rates is what a yield curve is all about. And traditionally, that's how it works. In the last couple of months, it started to flatten out where short-term rates have started to rise, but long-term rates have not, and that creates a flatter curve. You want to be looking for something that you can amortize as long as you can at a rate that's fixed if you can. Now, you need to understand, as I talked about earlier, that in asset liability management, the bank is not going to want anything to do with either one of those because they have to manage their balance sheet too. Excuse me, and longer is not always better for them. So you negotiate in between, and you know, you're probably going to be looking for something in the 5 to 7 year range for something that's fixed, maybe a little bit longer sometimes, but generally 5 to 7 years. And then you have to make some decisions based on what you think is going to happen going beyond that and decide whether you can deal with it or not and what you're going to do in the next 5 to 7 years to make sure you're in a better position to renegotiate when the time comes.
And what's really important here, too, is just like the bank wants to minimize risk as a startup and as a new business, you need to minimize risks, too. And so if you get a loan that's at 6%, you don't want to see it grow to 8%, 10%, and be honest, in the early 80s, people were paying 15 to 20%.
Yeah.
And that's what can happen when the rates are floating. So your business plan might have made perfect sense with a fixed rate at 5, but you've got a, let's say you take a floating rate at 3, great, but 3 or 4 years from now, is that going to be floating at 7, 8, 9%, and can you afford that? And that's one of those things you need to take into account as you look at a bank loan.
That's absolutely right, and there's a lot of calculators out on the web. Many banks have them on their own websites where you can plug this stuff in and look and see what the effect is going to be for yourself. You know, Tony, if he were here, and he'll let go it next week, that the debt is probably, it is the largest burden of cash flow on a business. And so if you take on that floating rate right now to get a smaller payment perhaps on the front end, and that rate starts to rise, that burden is going to rise also, and it's going to make it more and more difficult for you on a cash flow basis to be able to make those payments, which in the early stages of any business is going to be difficult.
And I'll just use an example from my experience. I was living in a house, only lived there 2 years, but I got my first home, I got a floating rate loan. 2% maximum cap. It rose 2% the first year. It rose 1.5% the second year. And then I was moving, luckily, because they're going to raise it 1.5% again. So it was going to be 5% higher from a very, I think I started at 2%. So it was going to be about 7.5% loan if I hadn't been moving.
And that can happen. So you have to be aware of that all the time. and know what those costs are going to do to you, and how you can be how you'll be affected by them, and then what you're going to do about it. So just be careful. There is times when a floating rate is actually something you can live with, as long as you understand how long it is and then what you're going to do about it when that time goes by. So we have reached a point where we're going to say goodbye for the week. We're thankful that you listened to us this week. Go out and enjoy this wonderful weather, and we'll be back next week with Tony Bush.
Thank you very much.